Good morning, church. The word I want to share with you today, I have a working title called Fight for Peace. Does that sound kind of oxymoronic, huh? Fight for Peace? Maybe not. We'll see, huh? Do you know the truth is that the new birth introduces each one of us into a life of spiritual warfare? Yeah. Yeah, it comes with the territory. In the scriptures, it's called the fight of faith, right? It is a battle, and it manifests itself in many ways in each individual life, especially as we are really desirous to do God's will. Because the truth is, the more you are willing to do God's will, the more resistance that you have in the world that we live in, because we know that in this world, there indeed are forces that do not want to see God's kingdom come, do not want to see God's will be done on earth as it is done in heaven, right? The one who was kicked out of heaven, the enemy himself, right? He is defeated through the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. But he is allowed, at least for the time being, to continue to stir up opposition for us as we live our lives desiring to do God's will. Amen? Yeah. One of the things that that we battle against, one of the most common areas of spiritual warfare, is the battle for belief. Now, that may sound wrong to you, saying, you might say, well, no, I always believe in God. But you remember what I always share with you, that that belief in God's not going to cut it. Even the demons believe in God. You have to have a faith that works, a faith that actually can operate on your day-to-day life, wherever you are, in your workplace, in your home, in your life, in your family. You have to have a faith that is able to withstand the pressures, the trials, the tribulations, the troubles that we face without shaking, because it's indeed the movement away from faith that fear enters, that anxiety enters. And let's be honest with one another. I'll be honest with you. We all battle worry, and we all battle anxiety, and we all battle fears of one sort. So today, we want to look into God's Word in order to understand how to fight for peace, how to have the courage to fight for peace. You know, it's very interesting to me that the scripture teaches us, just like in the old covenant when God promised to bring the Israelites out of slavery. You remember they were in Egypt and bound by Pharaoh and put under the slave drivers, the taskmasters that were cruel. And they cried out to God, and God delivered them from Egypt. And his desire was to bring them into the promised land, the land that he referred to as a land flowing with milk and honey, meaning a good land, a land that God would give them, a land where God would meet them, a land where God would bless them. But isn't it interesting that they had to fight for it? That should be instructive to us. You know, the Old Testament is there to teach us how to apply the truths of the new covenant to the same kind of situations, right? Yeah. Just as God desired them to enter the promised land, God desires us to be able to enter into his kingdom. Now, what that means is he wants us to be able to live a life that is a kingdom life, that's operating in God's kingdom with God in control, with God allowed to reign in us, God allowed to deal with us, and then God allowed to work in us and through us to see that kingdom advanced. When we pray, you know, your will be done, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we're asking that we may live kingdom lives, that we may live lives of faith, that we may live here on this fallen earth, right, as literally beacons of light, people that have entered into the truth of God, entered into a covenant with God, a new relationship with God that makes our life different than that of the world, that makes our life be able to be lived in faith, that can dispel anxiety, worry, and fear. Amen? Come on. Am I preaching in the right church? So I want to open your Bibles with me, and let's look a little bit in Scripture. We'll be looking in Joshua chapter 1. We'll start in the first four verses. I want you to stop for a moment, though, as you turn in your Bibles, and I want to think with me. All right? How many of your actions and attitudes actually come from anxiety? How many of your actions and thoughts and your attitudes come from anxiety? You know, anxiety about finances can give rise to coveting and greed and hoarding and, God forbid, even stealing. Anxiety about succeeding at something that's hard for you can make you irritable and really unsorely and not nice to be around, huh? Anxiety about relationships can actually make you be withdrawn and indifferent and even uncaring about other people. Anxiety about how someone will respond to you can even make you cover the truth and lie about things. Anxiety is a terrible taskmaster, right? Worry is a terrible taskmaster. Fear is a terrible taskmaster. And just as God came to deliver the Israelites from that terrible taskmaster, so he has come through Christ to deliver you. So we will be instructed today from God's word, from an Old Testament first example and then a new, to have God speak into our lives, speak words of courage. So here's what it says, Joshua chapter 1 in verse 1. You can follow with me. I'll read in NIV. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun. That means he had no mother or father, right? Okay. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready and cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert in Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the great sea on the west. No one, he said, will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Okay, we'll pause there. Actually, I read the verse 6, didn't I? So let me give you this first word. Courage comes from having a clear assignment from God. Courage comes from having a clear sense of your call, a clear sense of your purpose, a clear sense of your mission. Courage comes from knowing that you desire to do God's will and he's called you to do that in whatever specific way that he has for you. And you see, that's where you got to start, is to know that you're not born by accident, you're not living today by accident, that your life has purpose, that God saw that purpose from the very beginning, when you were knit together in your mother's womb. He indeed saw that purpose, and he birthed you to be able to be on this earth, in this place, in this time, so that that purpose can be fulfilled, that your life indeed can fulfill God's purpose. So in seeking out God's will, you have to start with this, don't you? That I know God has a will for my life. I know He has a purpose for my life. And that'll be different for everyone. Thank God it's different for everyone. For He needs His people. He needs His people to be in all kinds of different places, doing all kinds of different things, in front of all kinds of different people, in order for His will to be done, right? You have purpose. Every day you wake up with breath in your lungs, you should know God isn't done with you yet. He has purpose for your life, right? So Joshua was reminded now in this passage of Scripture that God had something for him uniquely to accomplish. He was to lead His people into the promised land, right? And you see, out of that clear word, out of that clear call, out of that clear sense of purpose, word of purpose, comes God's call to be courageous. So courage comes from entering into the call of God on your life. It comes from a clear assignment from God in your life. Assignments also change from season to season. You may have been on an assignment from God in the first part of your life that He changes in the next part of your life. The specific tasks may change, but the purposes God sees from the beginning, right? Yeah. You see, all of us are called to enter into the works of Jesus here upon this earth. When He went back to heaven, He did so that now He could equip His people with His power, His Spirit, to do even greater works, He said, than He did when He was on the earth. Why? Because He was one person. And because He chose to become human, He was still in one place at one time, right? But when He went back to earth, make no mistake about it, He desires the work He began to continue. Everything He spoke into the lives of the disciples was about that, was about them being equipped to carry on the work of Christ as He now sits at the right hand of God, as He now pours out His Spirit, equipping His church, equipping His people uniquely to accomplish the purposes that He has for us. Isn't it amazing to you that He speaks that word, right? He says, and you don't have to turn there because I don't want you to lose your place, but He says, you know, whoever believes in Me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do because I'm going to the Father. And then He gives us this word of promise. He says, whatever you ask in My name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask Me anything in My name, I will do it. But you have to understand that the context for that powerful word of answered prayer had to do with you doing the will of God in your life. It connects with that promise in 1 John that if we ask anything according to His will, we have it, right? It's not a license to name and claim every little thing that you may want in your life, but it certainly is a powerful word of promise saying that when you desire to do God's will, He will equip you to accomplish it. He will. You can ask Him anything in order for you to be able to do His will in your life, and He will do it. That makes sense, doesn't it? It is His will. So Jesus is saying, in other words, I give you the Holy Spirit, I give you My power, and I promise you that you can ask for anything in My name for this mission that I've called you to. Same thing He was saying to Joshua in the Old Testament, be strong and courageous, for I am with you, right? You see, that's the second point, is that courage rests upon our assurance that God is with us. Right? That God is with us. God never will call you to do anything apart from Him. Anything without Him. Every assignment that God gives us, right? He equips us for. But listen to this. Every assignment that He gives you, the purposes that He has for you in your life, it's also the means by which He works in you the process of transforming you into the person that He wants you to be. The process of sanctifying you, that is, changing you from the old to the new, changing you from the person you used to be before you had hope in God, before you were born again, to the person He knows you are, but that needs to come out with His help, right? That new life that He brings. And you need to know, as I need to know, that indeed, part of the process of equipping us is showing us how to be strong in Him, not in our own self. And so He does allow, listen to my words very carefully, He does allow things into our life that are resistance, right? Resistance, trials, troubles, tribulations. He does, right? Listen to these quick little words. I know that I want to stay on this text, but I got to put this word in there too. Like Peter says, you know, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, because He's given us, right, in His mercy, this new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus. It's into this inheritance that can never perish, kept in heaven for you, who by faith, say faith, who by faith are shielded, listen to these words, are shielded by God's power. Listen to these words, who by faith are shielded, who by faith are shielded by God's power. It takes faith to be shielded by God's power, amen? My mama, God bless her, is always praying, the hedge of protection over you, the hedge of protection over you, you know, and I love it when she does that. I was going to New York this weekend. The hedge of protection over you. I knew it would come when she said, I want to pray for you on the phone. The hedge of protection over you. But you see, the fact of the matter is, we enter into that hedge of protection by our own faith, right? Who by faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of that salvation that is ready to be revealed in this last time. Now listen to these words. In this you greatly rejoice, though for now you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trial. These have come, listen, so that your faith of greater work than gold, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved, that your faith may be proved genuine and result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed, right? So you see, faith is strengthened whenever resistance comes. Your muscles are strengthened, right, Joe? Whenever you apply resistance, right? That's why weight training is called resistance training. That's when strength comes. Faith is the same way in the spiritual. It is strengthened when you can weather the storms of life with God's help, right? Don't be surprised, right? It says in the book of James, when you feel trials of many kinds, because the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and it must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything, not lacking anything for what? To do the will of God in your life. You need faith in order to be able to accomplish the purpose He has for your life. And those things go hand in love, faith and courage, right? Courage rests upon God's assurance that He will be with you. You know, He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, right? Those words actually were spoken first to Joshua. And it's interesting, in the New Covenant, Paul ascribes those words to Jesus when he says, Jesus said, I will never, remember these words of Jesus, I will never leave you nor forsake you, right? That's what he speaks to us. All throughout God's word, I love Isaiah 41. It is a reiteration of this promise to Joshua. When he says in Isaiah 41 in verse 10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Courage comes from us realizing God is with us and will never leave us or forsake us. Can you say amen? And courage then also rests upon us being able to keep focused on our call in the midst of the battle. I want to tell you a truth that pilots in the Air Force would have learned during times of war. Here's the truth. You ready? You know you're flying over the right target when you're being shot at. Amen? So you see, that flows from the scripture I was just speaking about. You know you're doing God's will whenever you're being shot at. Right? I got to tell you that this is just a really quick sidebar. It's not in my notes. But it is true, and my wife reminded me of it just last week. Every time, without fail, that she goes to China, we feel the heat. Every time she goes to China, there is backlash. Every time there's resistance. Every time there's stuff that comes up that is not good, right? Every time, without fail. It was like that back when she was doing the Passion Plays as well, when she was writing and producing Passion Plays. Some of you remember that. Every time there was resistance, right? Yeah. But you see, remember the title of this message. We have to understand the weapons of our warfare that we have been given in order to fight whenever that resistance comes, whenever we feel that resistance, whenever we realize we're being shot at, we have to remember that we have been given weapons to deal with just this thing, right? And we are to receive these words of the Lord, be strong and very courageous, right? Ephesians chapter 6, that chapter on spiritual warfare, starting in verse 10, it says the same thing in a little different words. He says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, and put on the whole armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes, right? Same word. Be strong in the Lord, knowing he is with you, right? Knowing that you're in his will, doing his will, fulfilling his call, that resistance is coming because of that. So in the new covenant, Paul gives us this word. Now you can turn to the book of Philippians, and we'll park here for the rest of the message. Philippians chapter 4, and well, let's start in verse 6. Philippians 4 and verse 6 and 7. Are you receiving this word today? Paul says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. Good word, huh? The alternative to anxiety, he says, about anything is to pray about everything. You know what's bizarre is that in the hospice ministry that I do, I meet people that think that praying about little things, they call them little things in their life. I have cancer, it's a little thing. They think praying about feeling better, for example, this day, is troubling God. In other words, they think, who am I to bother God with my prayers? Do you know that's a common misperception? Until you come into the truth of God's word, until you come into relationship with Him, until you come to know that He actually commands you to pray about everything, right? The alternative to anxiety about anything is prayer in everything. Don't be anxious about anything, but pray in everything. The assumption, of course, is that God will act to meet your need. Down a little verse, several verses later, he says that, right? You don't have to, if you have your Bible, you can look in verse 19. It says, my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Remember, those he calls to do something, he will equip to do it. He will provide that which is necessary for you to do his will in your life. That's why we don't have to be anxious about anything, because he promises us that when we want to do his will, we make our request known and he will provide, and the peace of God, which surpasses our human understanding, it will be able to guard our hearts and our minds, which is where the attack comes. Our hearts and our minds. In place of anxiety can come peace, God's peace. It's not based upon a rational calculation about the odds the doctor gives you. It's not based about, you know, a rational calculation, you know, of how you're going to make ends meet in your finances. It's not based upon a rational calculation upon the health of your family. It's based upon God's power being able to do anything and you believing it. If he has a purpose for your life, he who calls you is faithful. He will see it through. Not without resistance, right? He allows it. Test our faith, strengthen our faith. But in the end, he desires to give us peace. The peace of communion with a present God in our lives. Peace is not the absence of trouble in your life. It's the presence of God in the midst of the trouble. The picture that I love, is that bird that in the midst of that storm pounding the rocky crag is tucked in there in his nest, sound and secure, weathering the storm. Peace is not the absence of trouble, it's the presence of God, your God, who says, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. Amen? Practically, you say, okay, you know, Pastor John, I deal with feelings of anxiety every day, so does that mean that my faith in God is inadequate? Being faithless is not the same as having your faith attacked. Let me borrow an example that I read this week. Let me share it with you. Listen to this. You guys will like this. Maybe girls too. Suppose you're in a car race, right? Automobile race, not a car race. And your enemy, who doesn't want you to finish the race, actually purposefully comes and skids in front of you, that the mud from the track, it's a dirt track, flies up on your windshield. Can't see, right? The fact that you temporarily lose sight of the goal and start to swerve, it does not mean that you have to quit the race, right? Doesn't even mean that you're on the wrong racetrack. If you weren't on the wrong racetrack, the enemy wouldn't bother you. If you were in the right race, you can be assured that the enemy will bother you, right? What it means is that you need to turn on your windshield wipers and use some windshield washer, right? Now listen, here's the illustration. When anxiety strikes us, blurs our vision of God's presence. You following me? And it begins to dull our sense of purpose, right? The plans that He has for us. It doesn't mean that we're faithless. It doesn't mean that we're faithless. It means that our faith is being attacked. At first blow, our belief in God's promises may sputter and swerve. But whether we stay on track and make it to the finish line depends on whether we indeed know how to deal with the attack, the resistance. We have to fight back against anxiety, which is why I say fight for peace, right? The scriptures say, right, Psalms of David, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you. Notice it doesn't say I've never struggled with fear in my life. David, the man of courage, right? He was the one that they testified to. He has a lion's heart. His son was going to go in battle against him, and his son's, right, friends who were in the army says, you got to watch your dad, buddy. He has a heart of a lion. He's a man of courage. And David was able to write, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you. Fear strikes us all. The battle begins. The Bible is very clear that it doesn't expect believers will have no anxieties in our life. Instead, the Bible tells us how to fight when they come. When they come, and they will come. 1 Peter says, cast all your anxieties on Him, right? For He cares for you. That word cares is anxiety. Cast all your cares, cast all your anxieties on Him, for He cares for you. It doesn't say you will never feel any anxieties. It says when you do, cast them on Him. It says when the mud splatters your windshield and you lose temporary sight of the road that God's marked out for you, and you begin to swerve in fear and worry, you need to go to God. You need to be reminded. You need the vision to return. Turn on your windshield wipers. Turn on the wipers of faith, right, to wash away. Clear the sight. You deal with anxiety by battling unbelief. You deal with anxieties by battling fear with the Word of God. And as you battle with God's Word, you're asking then His help according to His will, by His Spirit, through His promises. Without those promises, where would we be? But with them, they become for us our rock, our fortress. They become the sure yes and amen in Christ Jesus. They become the word that we can stand upon when the rains come and the winds blow. They become the sure foundation that allows us to have peace in the midst of trial. And so, as we conclude this morning, every one of us has to learn to battle the unbelief of anxiety with the promise of God. When I'm anxious, I battle unbelief with the promise. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will help you. I will strengthen you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. When I'm anxious about my purpose in life and I start to waver and start to say, Lord, do you still have purpose for me? Do you still have a plan for my life? I fight that unbelief with the promise, the anxiety with the promise, where he says, so shall my word that goes forth from my mouth. It will not come back to me empty, but will accomplish that which I purpose and prosper in the thing which I've sent it. When I'm anxious about being too tired or too weak to do the work, I battle unbelief with the promise of Christ that my grace is sufficient for thee, he says. My power is made perfect in weakness. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, for I feel weak, but in you I am strong. I know my God, and in him I am strong, and I will do exploits in his name. When I'm anxious about decisions that I have to make about my future, I battle that anxiety with his promise that he says, I will instruct you. I will teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. When I'm anxious, when I feel the fire of trial, when I know the enemy is attacking and using people usually to do that attacking, I fight that anxiety, that worry, that stress with the clear word of God, if God be for me, who can be against me? When I'm anxious, when I'm not feeling well, when I'm sick, I battle unbelief with the promise that knows that God that His arm has never grown short to strengthen and to heal. When I battle about turning 60 and getting old and I wonder, do I still have it in me to do your will, O God? I battle with the word of God that says, I know the plans that I've had for you. And I've never given up on them. Why should you? Amen? When we battle with the Word of God, the Spirit of God rises up within us. The Scripture says this, church, as we wrap up this morning, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raises up a standard. That word standard means banner, like the banner that they used to ride into battle with. That banner over you is the Lord. And that banner over you is unending love. So my friends, don't be surprised. But in those days of trouble, in the midst of your anxiety, take up the Word of God. Tap into the Holy Spirit within you. Let Him remind you the promises you've hid in your heart. For he says today, the horse is made ready for the day of battle, but the victory belongs to the Lord. Amen? The victory belongs to the Lord. When you are indeed seeking to do God's will, you have nothing to fear. The Lord, he is with you. He who called you is faithful. Stand with me and let's enter in.